Haunted, Tales of the Supernatural. Nigel Havers stars in The Judge's House by Bram Stoker, dramatised for radio by Patricia Mays.
Mr. Malcolmson.
Mr. Carnford.
Are you been to see the property in question?
I have, sir.
Sit down, please.
Thank you.
Well, now, what do you think? Does it suit your purpose?
Perfectly.
I'm delighted, sir.
It's certainly isolated. How high is the surrounding wall? 12 feet, would you say?
Yeah, about that, yes.
The windows are unusually small and set very high up.
Jacobean style.
Oh, of course. Well, I'm delighted at what I saw.
To tell you the truth, Mr. Malcolmson, I should be only too happy on behalf of the owner to let anyone have the house rent-free, if only to accustom the people hereabouts to seeing it inhabited again. It's been empty for so long that some kind of absurd prejudice has grown up about it, and that can be best put down by its occupation. If only by a scholar like yourself, sir, who wants peace and quiet for a time.
Absurd prejudice, you say, Mr. Carnford?
Oh, nothing, Mr. Malcolmson, I assure you. Only the prejudice that a house appears to instill in some people when standing empty for some time. Rumour, gossip about the reasons for it not being occupied. You know the sort of thing. Well, as I mentioned, I'll require a month's rent in advance.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I'll give you the necessary receipt.
Thank you. Oh, you mentioned to me when I inquired earlier that you know of a lady who would look after me while residing there.
Ah, yes, so I did. Mrs. Witham is her name. I'll write down her address for you.
The judge's house? Is that what you're saying, Mr. Markinson? Going to live in the judge's house?
If it's the small but rambling old house behind that high brick wall in Maybury Lane, then that is indeed the house in which I intend to stay, Mrs. Witham.
Well, sir, I don't know what to say.
You do not approve of my living there? It is only for a short while.
It's not for me to approve or disapprove, sir.
Clearly, though, the prospect gives you cause for concern. Well, Mrs. Witham?
I've never known anyone stay in the judge's house, sir.
It's called the Judge's House?
By the locals, yes, sir.
Why, sir?
I don't know how long it's been called that. I'm not from these parts myself, but everyone I've known since coming to Benchurch has referred to it as such. It was the abode of a judge, 100 years or more ago, and he was held in great terror on account of his harsh sentences and his hostility to prisoners at the assizes. As to what there is against the house itself, I cannot tell, sir. I've often asked, but no one will inform me. There was a general feeling that there was something. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, for my disturbing talk, but if you were my boy, and you'll excuse me for saying it, you wouldn't sleep there a night. Not if I had to go there myself and pull the alarm bell that hangs from the roof.
Alarm bell? What alarm bell?
Did you not see it?
I can't say I did.
The rope hangs right down into the drawing room, right next to the judge's chair itself.
Well, Mrs. Witham, you needn't be concerned about me. A man who is reading for the mathematical tripos has too much to think about to be disturbed by any of these mysterious somethings. And his work is of too exact and prosaic a nature to allow for his having time for mysteries of any kind. Harmonical progressions and elliptic functions have sufficient mysteries for me, thank you.
Well, sir, I see you are determined to live there, then.
I am, Mrs. Witham, I am. So all we have to decide upon is whether you agree to make the necessary arrangements and find a housekeeper a little less apprehensive about the house than yourself.
Very good, sir. I'll order all the necessary provisions and arrange for a Mrs. Dempster to see to your needs.
Thank you, Mrs. Witham. You're most kind.
I've had enough provisions delivered to see you through the first 3 days, sir.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Witham. I've decided to make my main abode here in the drawing room. It's large enough to serve all my daily requirements, I think.
Where do you want these put?
What did you say her name was, Mrs. Witham?
Mrs. Dempster, sir. She'll do all your cleaning, fetching and carrying.
Just put them on the table there, Mrs. Dempster.
Well, there's another lot outside.
That's right. Books, Mrs. Dempster. All books. Just put them on the table.
Very heavy they are.
That's enough, Mrs. Dempster. Just put them on the table as Mr. Markinson says.
Right, but you
don't know stand
how
any nonsense from her, sir. She has a quick tongue, but she's a hard worker, and she'll keep the house as clean as a new pin.
I'm sure she will. You've been most kind, Mrs. Witham, especially with the provisions. I'll wager some of them came from your own kitchen.
It's the least I can do, sir.
Well, I'm very grateful.
Well, I wish you all the best for your stay, sir.
This the last lot, sir?
Yes, I think so, Mrs. Dempster.
As the bedroom is big and draughty, it might be as well to have one of those screens put round your bed at night, though, truth to tell, I would die myself if I were to be shut in with all kinds of things that put their heads round the sides and over the top to look at me. Oh, excuse me, sir, I'll be going.
Good day, Mrs. Witham, and please don't worry about me.
I'll tell you what, sir. Bogies is all kinds and sorts of things, except bogies. Rats, mice, beetles, creaky doors and loose slates, broken panes and stiff drawer handles that stay out when you pull them and then fall down in the middle of the night. There, you bogies. Look at that wainscot. Hundreds of years old. Do you think, sir, you won't see none of them? Rats is bogies. And bogies is rats. And don't you get to thinking anything else.
Oh, Mrs. Dempster, you know more than many a prophet. And let me say that as a mark of my esteem for your indubitable soundness of head and heart, I shall, when I leave, give you possession of this house and let you stay here yourself for the last 2 months of my tenancy. For 4 weeks will serve my present purpose admirably.
Oh, thank you kindly, sir. But I couldn't sleep away from home. I'm in Greenhouse Charity Institution, and if I slept a night away from my rooms, I should lose all I've got to live on. Otherwise, I'd gladly come here and attend on you. The rules is very strict, sir.
My good woman, I have come here on purpose to obtain solitude, and believe me, I am grateful to the late Mr. Greenhow for having organised his admirable charity, whatever it is, that I am perforce denied the opportunity of suffering from such a form of temptation.
Oh, you young gentleman. You don't fear a thing, do you? Well, you'll get all the solitude you'll want here. Now, I'd better get you settled in before nightfall.
And while you do that, Mrs. Dempster, I will go for a walk.
The place will be all spick and span on your return, sir. I'll leave some food out for you on a tray and a fire in the hearth.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Dempster. You're most kind.
No, be off with you. Otherwise, I won't be finished in time.
Eleven o'clock. Must think about going to bed, I suppose. Oh, my tea's getting cold. Solitude. Listen to it. You can actually hear the silence. What's that?
Bogies is rats, and rats is bogies.
Of course. Rats in the wainscot. Listen to them. Racing, gnawing, scratching. For generations they've been doing that, I expect. And the rope, thick, hard. All the way up to the great alarm bell in the roof. The judge thought of everything. Oh, they've stopped now. The rats have stopped their mischief for tonight. Another few minutes study, and then to bed. Oh, my God. Go away, rat. Go away, damn you. He doesn't move. He just stares at me. I'll throw a cup at it. Go away, damn you. It still doesn't move. It bares its teeth at me. The poker. I'll kill it with a poker. Now, you evil-looking monster, I'll kill you. Take that! Damn it. He scampered up the bell rope. My God. They've started again.
sir? Mr. Malcolmson, sir?
What?
Careful, sir. You nearly knocked the tray from my hand.
Oh, it's you, Mrs. Dempster. What time is it?
It's just gone 9, sir. I let you sleep when I arrived. It looked as if you'd been up most of the night.
I heard the cock crow before I turned in.
Oh, all that studying. You'll make yourself ill. Here's some breakfast for you.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Dempster. You're very kind.
Everything all right?
What do you mean, all right?
Last night. No bogeys.
No bogeys, Mrs. Dempster, none at all.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear it, I must say. I've tidied up downstairs so you can get up whenever you like.
Thank you, Mrs. Dempster. I think I'll go for a walk this morning.
You do that, sir. Mustn't study all the time. All work and no play, as the saying goes.
Yes. Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Malcolmson.
Oh, Mrs. Witham, good morning. Lovely day, isn't it?
Out for a walk, I see.
Well, I was studying most of last night, so I thought I'd take an hour or two off to clear the head and tone up the muscles.
Tell me, sir, how did you pass the night?
Very well, thank you, Mrs. Witham.
I'm pleased to hear it. I can't tell you how relieved I was when Mrs. Dempster told me you were well and sleeping sound when she went in first thing this morning.
Ah, you've been to the house, then?
I've just come from there. I hope Mrs. Dempster's proving satisfactory.
More than satisfactory, thank you. No, Mrs. Witham, you'll be pleased to know that the somethings didn't worry me in the slightest. Only the rats, and they had a circus, I can tell you. All over the place they were. There was one particularly wicked-looking old devil that sat up on the big armchair by the fireplace and wouldn't go until I took a poker to him. And then he ran up the rope with the alarm bell and hit somewhere up the wall or ceiling. I couldn't see. It was so dark up there.
Mercy on us, Mr. Malcolmson. An old devil and sitting on a chair by the fireside. Oh, take care, sir. You take care.
How do you mean, madam? I don't understand.
An old devil. The devil, perhaps. Oh, no, sir. Please don't laugh.
Forgive me, Mrs. Witham, and don't think me rude, but the idea was too much for me, that the devil himself was sitting in the chair last night. Oh, it's really too funny for words.
Let's hope so, Mr. Malcolmson. Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Witham.
Now I'm ready for him. The end of the rope lying on the table, under the lamp, and these books, handy weapons to throw. Yes, I'm ready for you, you old devil. Like a rat trap. I think we shall learn something of you tonight. Time for a pot of tea, I think. Hello? The lamp moved. The rope. I won't move except my eyes. Ah, yes. Here he comes. Down the rope. The size of a devil. Enormous. The cheek of the monster. He's dropped from the rope and again he sits on the old oak chair staring at me. Right. I'll do for you this time. You better watch out. These books are heavy. Now, take that! Missed! He's afraid. Now this time I won't miss this time. I'll finish you, you ugly old monster. I hit him! Damn him, he's got away up that ceiling again. Where does he get to up there? He seemed to go through a hole in that great picture.
It's so dirty I can't see what it's a picture of. I look at my friend's habitation in the morning. The third picture from the fireplace. I shan't forget. Better pick up my books. Let's see now. There.
and the book that nearly felled him. The Bible my mother gave me. I think I'll ask Mrs. Dempster to clean that picture first thing in the morning.
Do sit down, Mr. Malcolmson.
Thank you.
It was good of you to come.
How could I reject such a request, madam, seeing how kind you've been to me?
You see, Dr. Thornhill, I told you he was utterly charming, yet he remains very stubborn.
I understand you're taking an important mathematics examination fairly soon.
Yes, sir, I am. It is of such importance as to affect my entire future. Hence my desire for solitude before I return to college.
Education is of such importance, I agree. But does it require all the long hours you appear to give it?
Dr. Thornhill, I shall with pleasure answer any question you may choose to ask, if you will answer me one question first.
What is it?
Did Mrs. Witham ask you to come here and advise me?
Well, sir...
Mr. Malcolm.
Forgive me, but I suspect a trap.
Not a trap, sir.
Perhaps not, sir, but I do feel ensnared. Please do not be offended, Mrs. Witham. I am touched by your concern for my welfare.
If that is the case, Mr. Malcolmson, I fear I can answer your question with complete honesty. Mrs. Witham did, in fact, ask me to come here. But, of course, she didn't intend you to know it. I suppose it was my clumsy haste that made you suspect.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
I fear we have caused offence. Mrs. Witham doesn't like the idea of your being in that house in Maybury Lane all by yourself. She also thinks you take too much strong tea.
Ah.
In fact, she wants me to advise you, if possible, to give up the tea and the very late hours. I was a keen student in my time, so I feel I may take the liberty of an ex-college man and, without offence, advise you not quite as a stranger.
Shake hands, sir.
Ah.
I must thank you for your kindness, and Mrs. Witham's too, and it deserves a return gesture on my part. I promise to take no more strong tea, no tea at all, till you let me, and I shall go to bed tonight at 1 o'clock at the latest. Will that do?
Capital. Now, tell me all that you've noticed in the old house. And the rat always climbs down the rope of the alarm bell?
Always.
I suppose you know what the rope is.
No.
It is the very rope which the hangman used for all the victims of the judge's judicial rancor.
Doctor, please. There's no need to be embarrassed, Doctor. I was listening. I admit it.
If you would excuse me, I must return. It's nearly luncheon.
Very well, sir.
I'm sure you and Mrs. Witham have a great deal to talk about. Good day, Doctor.
Sir.
Mrs. Witham.
Mr. Malcolmson.
And please, don't worry. I shall be perfectly all right. No more tea, and in bed by one. You'll see. Good day. I'll see myself out.
This has not turned out as I planned at all. I'm surprised at you, Dr. Thornhill. You know how impressionable young people are.
He may be young, but to all intents and purposes, madam, he is a free man. And a man of means, too. Besides, I had a distinct purpose in drawing his attention to the alarm bell rope. It may be that he is in a highly overwrought state and has been studying too much. Although I'm bound to say that he seems as sound and healthy a young man, mentally and bodily, as ever I saw. But then, the rats. And that suggestion of the devil. I would have offered to go and stay the night with him, except that I felt it would have given him offence. In the night, he may get some strange fright or hallucination. And if he does, I want him to pull that rope. All alone as he is, it will give us warning and we may reach him in time to be of service. I shall be sitting up pretty late tonight and shall keep my ears open.
What do you mean, Doctor?
I mean this, dear lady, that possibly, nay, more, probably, we shall hear the great alarm bell from the judge's house tonight, if I can believe all that Mr. Malcolmson has told me.
Dempster!
Mrs. Dempster?
Oh, she must have left.
Dinner all set, I see. Everything ready. Bless the dear lady. I think I'll have a glass of sherry before I eat. And then I will study some more. Oh, this is pleasant. A good sherry and peace. The rats have returned. Ah, yes, there you are, my friend. The biggest rat of them all, I wager, with those baleful eyes, those sharp teeth, watching. You've frightened the others away, haven't you? It's just you and me, eh? Well, I'm going to have my dinner. You're not going to put me off that. A storm's blowing up, it seems. But it's nice and cozy in here, eh, rat? Yes, I'm talking to you. Perched up there in the shadows, I can see the glint in your wicked eyes. You'd like to share this with me, wouldn't you? Mrs. Dempster's veal and ham pies for me. All for me. What's that? Oh, it's you, eh? Rat. Hurrying back whence you came. I must have fallen asleep. The wine and the food. Let me take a look at your hiding place. I'll turn out the lamp. I wonder if Mrs. Dempster's cleaned the picture like I asked her to. We should see it more clearly. I'll have to mount this chair and hold the lamp up higher. And there. My God. A portrait of the judge. His face makes the flesh creep. So merciless, evil and vindictive. And the nose, hooked like a bird of prey. And those eyes, they're just like the rat. They pierce right through me. Dear God, I wish I hadn't asked Mrs. Dempster to clean it. Better that the face was covered with the grime of years than be seen by mortals. Oh, damn the chair. It gave way under me. I can't see a thing now. Damn, damn. What's that? Oh, so there you are. On the bell rope. Oh, I must find another lamp. God, I'm shaking. Dear God, I'm actually shaking. Oh, this will not do. If I go on like this, I shall become a crazy fool. This must stop. I promised the doctor I would not take tea. He was right. My nerves must have been getting into a state. Funny, I didn't notice it. Oh. Right. I shall not be such a fool again. Oh, I'm tired. I can't see to read anymore. I'm so fatigued. What? You're there again, rat. I see you. What are you doing? My God, you've gnawed through the rope. Stop it! Stop it! You devil, I'll get you. I'll get you, you fiend. Where are my books? Take that! The lightning! What's happening? The picture! He's gone. The judge has gone from the picture.
I'm here, Malcolmson.
Oh, my God.
I am here, about to give sentence.
You're not real. You're... Quiet, for God's sake, be quiet.
Malcolmson, look at me.
No, you're not real. You're not... The black cap, the rope. What are you doing? What do you want? Keep away.
away.
Please tell me, Doctor. I want to know.
I dare not, madam. It was too horrible.
I must know, sir. Please.
He hanged himself.
Hanged himself?
From the bell rope. He had stood on the judge's chair, put the noose around his neck, and then apparently kicked the chair away.
Oh, my God.
Who would have thought it? It was the weight of his own body that gave the alarm as he swung.
All right, Doctor, no more, I pray you.
And there was something else.
What was that?
Probably my imagination, of course. But the judge's picture, the huge portrait high up on the wall. I'd never noticed it, but do you remember a smile on the judge's face? I don't. But there it was. A smile. A malignant smile.
That was The Judge's House by Bram Stoker, with Nigel Havers as Malcolmson and Nancy Nevinson as Mrs. Dempster. Jane Thompson was Mrs. Witham, and other parts were played by David Timpson and Alexander John. It was a BBC World Service drama production directed by Derek Hoddenott.